Thanks for listening to Cap and Jay Hood, brought to you by Miller Lite.
Itching your morning sports fix. Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
What is the ceiling? What is the floor for our Chicago Bears? And you can watch our show on Twitch. Brought to you by Blue Moon, the official craft beer sponsor of the Kentucky Derby. Twitch.tv/ESPN1000, Chicago. So ESPN did a deep dive on the National Football League, and they did ceilings and floors for all the teams in the NFL. All 32 have a ceiling. All 32 have a floor. So, Hoodrow, as you look at the Bears, ceiling 10-6, floor 5-11. What do they come closer to? Where are you on this?
Okay, so as I mentioned to you before, when I first saw the schedule come out, just strokes with the pen, I went 7-9, and I said that after camp, I'll more than likely will change that, and right before the game against the Lions, I might change it again, or may stay pat. You know, but I at first glance, it looks like 7-9. Top heavy at the beginning, and then maybe a free fall in the middle toward the bottom. So when I look at this team, once again, Cap, we talk about the negatives and positives always, right? It's like a relationship. It's just like what you do with your future financially. You get the yellow pad out, and you think about the positive and negatives. You want to be able to accentuate the positive and hide the negatives of anything in life, including when it comes to the Bears. And so when we take a look at that and we get the yellow pad out and we write down the good and bad, well, the good, usually it's the defense that's usually good, good enough to keep you in ball games. You might have a question at one of the corner spots with a kid and Johnson, but you believe in the core of that defense.
Yep.
Okay, so then we take a look at the negatives. What if with the offensive line? You're hoping the offensive line can come together. You're hoping. You're hoping that Anthony Miller can be the other guy on the other side of Robinson, they can make a difference at wide receiver. You're hoping that it's not about the tight end room. It's about the tight ends on the field. Now, you can talk about how the tight ends have gotten better in the room, but ultimately it's about the
production
on the field.
Are they going to perform?
Yeah, and Graham and Komet, you would think so, but we don't know. The running game without Montgomery, I've been looking at Twitter. I still don't see Bears sign Fournette. I have not seen that this morning. Have you?
No, but he'll have till 3 o'clock till he clears waivers.
I need to see that.
We need to know like 3:30.
I'd feel much better about the running game if I knew that the Bears had someone besides Ryan Nall and Tariq Cohen run the football while Montgomery's out.
What about Cordero Patterson?
I love the end-around plays, but you know what? That's like an old joke. You know it's coming.
Yeah, no question.
Like, so, that guy's a special teams guy. That's what he is.
He's a gadget guy.
That's what he is. He's a special teams guy. Yeah. And so is Tariq Cohen. Got a couple of those guys on the team.
Correct.
A la Kansas City. The only problem is you don't have Kansas City players. And ultimately, it comes down to offense in the quarterback spot. There's more question marks. Not negatives. Question marks about Trubisky and or Foles. So that's why it feels more like the floor than the ceiling because of those question marks. It's an offensive league. And so you want to be able to have offensive weapons. You have one guy, Robinson, and a question mark at quarterback. That's why it feels like the floor.
Yeah, I feel it's more like the ceiling because the defense is so good, so outstanding. Allen Robinson's a beast. You're right. There are definitely question marks at quarterback. I can't dispute that. The injury to David Montgomery pushes me a little more towards the floor because groins don't heal quickly. They just don't. And when he goes down and I watch that video and he's yelling, "My groin," it's not like, "Nah, I felt a little tweak." Like, you make a cut on a cold day and you're like, "Ugh, my groin was actually bothering me all season long."
Yeah.
That's why you got to go get somebody now, whether that's Leonard Fournette. I know he's not the perfect fit. Guy had almost 1,700 yards from the line of scrimmage last year. Caught 76 balls. Please don't tell me in the Tribune that he's not shifty and he's this and he's that. There ain't a whole running back tree out there you just grab from. This guy's at least experienced.
I read the same thing, too. Yeah, like you know, beggars can't be choosers. You cannot look at the running back spot and say, Fournette, Well, then who fits that's available right now?
Right.
That's a sure thing if he clears waivers.
Barry Sanders coming out of retirement?
No, he's not. He's not coming out of retirement. But see, but here's the thing. If Cap, if you know it's an offensive league, then how is it that you're more toward the ceiling when you got the defense as your positive, but the offense is your negative? It makes it off balance. You also don't have someone on special teams that can really, really make a difference. That Hester back there, that's Cohen.
Cordero can make a difference back there. Absolutely. I believe in him special teams-wise, and that's been with the way the kicking rules are set up now. Everything's been kind of de-emphasized mm-hmm. to keep guys healthy. The other thing is, last year, no matter how poorly Mitch played, you had Chase Daniel behind him.
Sure.
You didn't look and go, all right, Mitch, I've had enough. I'm starting that guy. Because that guy was just a glorified assistant coach, good dude, holding a clipboard.
Well,
Nick Foles is a legitimate player. He may be the starter.
If you believe in Trubisky, then Daniel actually is the best backup.
Yeah, because
that make sense?
Yeah, because Mitch knows it's my job and I just got to go. I want someone to push him because he was lousy last year. And if he doesn't win the job, that's his own fault. Mm-hmm. And then I'll get behind Nick Foles.
I just think that.
I just don't see any scenario they could go 5-11, barring catastrophic injury.
You think? Well, and that means that the defense has to be someone that's opportunistic to be able to get the ball and score it.
As bad as
like
they,
we saw in year one.
Yeah, in 2018.
Yeah.
As bad as they were last year, and Mitch was bad, and the O-line was bad, and the coaching on the offensive play calling was bad, all of it. As bad as that was, if Eddie Pinheiro makes a kick against the Chargers.
Sure.
If the defense doesn't have a brain cramp and hit the punter in London, mm-hmm. they win that game.
The Ram game on Sunday night.
They're all of a sudden, yeah. You can make a scenario and someone can go, well, they made a long kick against Denver. They're still 9-7, 10-6, as awful as they were.
So here's the thing, Jeff. You know what's troublesome to me? Tell me if I'm wrong. I can understand if you are the Bengals and you know that all you have to do is just get better. I can understand if you're Kansas City and you're on the top of the heap. But, man, when you're 8-8, it sucks.
Yeah.
Because you really don't know the direction. This is why we're doing this ceiling versus floor conversation here this morning, because when you're in the middle in sports, it sucks. Because you really don't know. If you're bad, you know where you got to go. If you're good, you want to maintain that momentum. But in the middle sucks in sports. And that's where the Bears are right now.
No, absolutely. And it specifically sucks when you're 8-8, but you're coming off of where you backslid from 12-4 the previous year. And there were heightened expectations, and you failed to live up to those expectations. And that 8-8 season, as I've mentioned multiple times now, felt like it was a 5-11 year because you beat multiple backup quarterbacks. You know what's interesting to me about Brad Biggs' piece about Leonard Fournette not being a fit? Sure. Like, Cap, you've pointed out that he caught 76 passes last year. I'll fight with you a little bit in the sense that I felt like a lot of those passes were he can catch the ball if you throw the ball to him, mm-hmm. but he's not really going to be an asset in the passing game. He's essentially catching a dump off and falling down. Now look, it's better than just dropping the ball outright, but at the same time, I don't think there's much value there. But what else? But to Hoodie's point, beggars can't be choosy.
By the way, he did average over 6 yards a catch.
That's not good.
I don't disagree. It's the same number. He was actually ahead of Alvin Kamara.
I know, but Kamara had an injured knee last year.
Agreed.
And throughout Kamara's career, he averages more than 10 yards a catch. Fournette does not for his career. But I'm not worried about if Leonard Fournette is brought in here, it's not to be a featured back or that he's got to earn.
Right. He's
that.
Not getting 25 carries a game.
What you need is a serviceable guy who, if you need to run the ball, you can turn around and hand the ball to. Right now, we don't know what David Montgomery's situation is. And the Bears don't until they see him get back out there on the field and prove that he's not hurt, and that he's not favoring an injury. So until you get to that point, you don't know what you have. So the one thing I'm wondering is, if they fail to sign Leonard Fournette, and mm-hmm. I don't want them to break the bank, but assuming that he's out there, if they fail to sign him, I do wonder, because there's been a lot of demand of Matt Nagy to go out and run the football, right?
Yeah.
Does he really want to run the football? I mean, Brad Biggs' piece lays it out how Fournette's not a fit. It's not a situation where, you know, you need the perfect fit here.
It's not a glass slate, right, but if this was February and you're going into free agency, I get it. There's a lot of options.
Yeah.
If you're going into the draft, he might not be what you would draw up. Tell me who else is out there.
Yeah, that's why you go ahead and get him, because you do have the capital to do it financially. That's why we're asking the question. So do you think the Bears will reach their ceiling at 10-6 or more like their floor at 5-11? That's our question we have for you this morning.
312-332-3776. I look at this team and I shake my head that everyone nationally is like, oh, that could be a 3-win team, USA Today. That's a 5-win. I just don't see that scenario. I don't care who the quarterback
is. I'll tell you what. You know how you get closer to your floor, though, is you open the season with an injury to David Montgomery in the backfield. Hoodie's laid out. There's a lot of skill position players that don't really blow you away outside of Allen Robinson. You know, you start to suffer a few injuries here and there.
Yeah.
And you're right. Look, the defense is really good. But in the National Football League, it's an offensive league.
Yeah,
you want your strong side of the ball to be the offense, not the defense, if you have your choice.
Cap, you're not winning every game 10-6. That's the only issue. That's the only thing. Like the defense, if it's like Lovey's defense where a scoop score, you know, like to get the turnover ratio going and score.
Like 2018.
Yeah, it's like, but it just, I don't think I see that with this team. They're going to be tenacious, but not enough to be able to help the offense. The offense has got about time for them to carry their own weight for once. You know, like the first year of Nagy was the old shell game. Let's do some trick plays. It's the story will be written that Nagy covered up for Trubisky in a lot of ways with those trick plays.
He did, and his play calling.
Yeah, he did it. Like,
no doubt.
He saw Trubisky. He's like, okay, let's see what I could do to maybe mask some of the issues here. And okay, now year two, it's on you, Mitch. Oh, not so good.
Right.
Decent, but not so good. This is why this is a big year for the Bears. That's why we're talking about it.
Massive. 312-332-3776. Do you think the Bears will reach their ceiling, 10-6, or their floor, 5-11? Be right back. With Hoodie, I'm Cap. Cap and Jay Hood every morning, weekdays, 7 until 10. Carmen and Yurko at 10. Mike Greenberg at noon. Waddle and Sylvie at 2. Black and Abdallah at 6.
All part of our broadcast day here on ESPN 1000. Follow the show on Twitter at Cap Jay Hood.
Let's go to the phones. Greg is in St. John, Indiana. Hey, Greg.
Hey, what's happening, gang?
What's up, Greg Braggs?
Greg!
So I like what you guys are talking about here when it comes to their differential on what they can and win. Because one of my favorite sayings is by Herm Edwards. He always says that the difference between a 10-6 team and a 6-10 team is about 5 plays. And I just think that's football every year. Look at the pitiful Lions or even the Bears at 8-8. They could have easily won 10 games or lost 4 games. That's every NFL season. So it's going to come down to those little plays. That's why coaching is so important. So, you know, the Bears have absolutely an opportunity to be in the playoffs or, you know, be picking, you know, somewhere around 10 or 12 in the draft. So it's going to come down to those little plays, those little injuries week to week. You know, there's so many different elements that come into a successful season. It's not just, you know, rolling out the roster and getting 10 wins. There's so many different variables that go into a winning season. Some of it's luck.
Look, they have got a lot of doubters offensively, and that's just fair. They've earned that, unfortunately. But they've tried to make some amends in the tight end room. Losing David Montgomery, if he's, you know, banged up for 6 weeks, that's a problem.
That's a big problem. Now, Kemper, I heard you talking about this unity walk. What day again is this going to be? September what?
21.
September 20th, who do they play after that? Who do they play in that day?
No, it's a Monday. Day before they play the Giants. It's got to be a day that I'm here doing radio, and then I'm going to walk home.
It's also going to be. It's still get paid. It's going to be a day after Bears victory, because that's a good date, because you believe they're going to beat the Giants, and I believe that too.
The Bears will be 2-0. Mitchell will be 2-0, so I'll be wearing my Mitchell Trubisky jersey for part of the walk at the very least.
There you go. Have a great day, Greg.
Hey, you too, Capper. And like I said, I'm more than happy to donate a signed jersey to give away to the fans if they want to donate to whatever charity you pick. So you let me know how you want to do this, and I'm ready to walk the full way with you, buddy.
All right, you have a great day.
All right, later, buddy.
See you. Greg Braggs.
So the we appreciate Greg joining us here as a guest. So the ceiling for the Bears, according to JD, is 10-6. The floor, 5-11. Well, listen, we can't move the goalposts. This is JD's floor and ceiling.
Correct.
So 5-11 also says this, and it very well could happen. You're not going to get three teams in the NFC North in the playoffs.
No.
So you got Yannick Ngakoue, which is great with chips, by the way. You ever had some Ngakoue?
I had some Ngakoue we put on Seabass last night.
Oh, it was outstanding.
It was phenomenal.
Lemon or no? Yeah, lemon
on
the
Ngakoue? Yeah, we actually made a lemon cream sauce to drizzle over the top of the Ngakoue.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
That's outstanding. Do you put it in your Yannick?
We do.
Yeah.
We bake it in the Yannick.
Oh, it's outstanding.
Outstanding.
Well, now the Vikings have that, and it's so... Now the Vikings have that, right? So that only solidifies their defense even more so. So that's the whole issue, man. So the Packers are always, that's the team you fear because it's Aaron Rodgers. Vikings with Zimmer are good. How do the Bears fit in that equation? Three teams in the NFC North in the playoffs? That's the thing. Again, they're better.
They are.
They're better. So how do the Bears do it? Wake up and win a football game.
Find a way to win a football game. Whatever it takes, man. Eddie Jackson picks six. Akeem Hicks strip sack. Khalil Mack scoops it up and runs it in. He sacks somebody, tosses it back to Roquan, who runs down the side. Whatever. Or Mitch or Nick lead the offense to a traditional score.
I'm going to call Peacock and see if we got a Yannick at the house. You know, our kitchen is seasonal.
Apt sells really cool Yannicks.
Do they?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, our kitchen is usually.
It costs $13 million a year.
Our kitchen is usually seasonal. Just open.
Yannick is $13 million now.
One day,
yeah, wow. You actually less than $17 million.
You know what, Danny? One day I'm going to get that joke out. It just won't be right now.
Right.
I've been waiting for it. I've been waiting.
I tried three times, but Miller's got to get his line in. So I'll just wait. I'll just push the buzzer next time when I want to get my line in. It's unbelievable. Go ahead,
Yannick. 312-332-3776.
Unbelievable.
Bears. Ceiling 10-6, 4-5-11.
It's like I'm hosting Family Feud. I'm just trying to get the hey Steve Harvey. I just want to get the buzzer in. It's unbelievable.
Get a couple lines.
Let's set it up. So your kitchen seasonal hoodie.
Well, I was gonna call Peacock and find out if we have a Yannick in our kitchen. But of course, our kitchen is only seasonal. It's open once a season.
Wow, just once.
Right.
One time.
That's all it was. It was just a 10-second line. I couldn't get it out.
So how do you make the Ngakoue if you only use it once a season? Do you just store the make a big batch of Ngakoue and it's in the freezer?
Freezer for the winter. That's what you
and
need
then
for
just
the
defrost it in the morning before you leave to come here. When you come back, Ngakoue is thawed out and ready to go.
That's exactly. You put it in our Zimmer and then thaw it out.
How about that?
See? You put in the Zimmer.
See, my cousins both have Ngakoues.
Wow.
How about that?
That's really good stuff.
Really good.
I need to call Mindy. There must be a special recipe for the Ngakoue.
Yes.
I'll figure that out. No,
absolutely. She bought a Yannick, and it was on sale.
Mm-hmm.
And her cousins told her, you got to take a look at this, because when you use it, you can really cook.
Wow. Take that. Take that. How about that?
Let's go to Jackson out on the tri-state. Hey, Jackson.
How you doing, Cap?
What's up, Sparky?
How you doing, Jay Hood?
What's up, brother?
First time calling in on the new show. Congratulations, guys. It's awesome. I love it every day.
We appreciate you.
I think the Bears need to sign a running back right away, or we'll be way closer to the floor than the ceiling. I think Leonard Fournette makes the obvious decision, and I want to hear what you guys think about it. Let me know. Thanks a lot.
Makes sense. Yeah, it makes sense to be able to bolster your running back room. You know, it's not fantasy football. It's a Bears team that needs to be able to have someone that they can depend on to run the football. If the offensive line is as improved as what they say at House Hall, you want to have someone there to be able to do it. I'd rather have him than lean on Tariq Cohen or Ryan Nall. You have to improve on that. And the other thing is so funny. Here's why, as fans, we look at the money that is there for the Bears, and we're like, oh, $4 million, that's way too much. It's not my dough. It's McCaskey's dough.
And they got $16.5 million in cap space. Jeff, can you, I know he's not a fantasy football player, but I'm hearing that Riley Reiff could get released because he won't restructure his deal to make it cheaper for the Vikings?
Yes.
Is that, or any chance of that happening?
No, that's certainly on the table. Those are the reports that I've read. I mean,
would you sign him?
If he's released, the Eagles have some huge issues right now with injuries on their offensive line. So that
he's a Midwest kid. He went to Iowa.
Listen, that's where you get into the negotiation. Sure, I think the Bears should be on the horn.
Would you rather live in Philly or here?
I don't know, though. You know, when you think about Juan Castillo and what he's, you know, reworking the offensive line already, do they want to bring in somebody like him? Who, you know, when you're already, I don't know. That's the question, because I do think he'll be sought after if he's released. And I don't know if the Bears want to get into a spot where they're in a bidding war for him.
Got $16 million in cap space. Let's let Leonard Fournette clear waivers.
Yep.
Get him on a one-year deal. Mm-hmm. Prove it.
Prove it, dear.
Riley Reiff gets released, and we go, step right in here, my friend.
Sure, sure. No problem.
Take
that. You can also make a nice living in Philly, by the way. It doesn't. I mean, it'd be nice for him to be here, but if he wants to stay in Philly, you can
go to Philly.
Yeah, you can go to Philly or play anywhere. I mean, you can make a nice living in some of these places.
Sure, you can.
Except everywhere except Jacksonville.
Right.
So, what are you doing to WIP? I'm Jay Hood.
What are you doing with Charles Leno then, though? That's the question. I mean, Ryan Pace likes Charles Leno. Now, he was better in 2018 than he was last year, you know, but you have him signed, so I don't think you're not going to just cast aside Charles Leno.
I'd have to know more how Riley Reiff is health-wise, how he has...
I know, but you're the one who... Like, I'm just saying, say Riley Reiff is good, they just trying to make it work under the Vikings cap, and they don't want to continue to pay him at the number they have him at currently.
And is he better than Charles Leno?
I think he's better than Charles Leno.
Okay, then guess what? I got to figure it out. Am I better today than I was yesterday? Am I better tomorrow than I was today?
I just know that if my job's on the line, Jeff, I just got to do whatever I got to do. And if that's a move, then you make the move. But you believe in those guys in the locker room, but you could always get better. This is why we talked about with the Cubs and Sox in the trade deadline, right?
Agreed.
Just whatever it takes.
312-332-3776. Do you think the Bears will reach their ceiling 10-6 or their floor 5-11? Our friend Peter, our Greek friend from Miami, joins us now. Hey, Peter.
Hey, guys, how's it going? Good morning, and congratulations for the show.
Appreciate you,
Pete. So, I don't know the answer to the ceiling or the floor, but if they don't go pick up Leonard Fournette or a running back, even Devontae Freeman, because the Bears have one of the worst running back rooms in the league. So, if that doesn't happen, I'd say that is a GM malpractice. So,
yeah.
I don't know. And we all know what's going on with the quarterbacks, both of them. They're not looking really good. So,
where are you with it, Peter? Ceiling or floor for the Bears?
I want it to be the ceiling, but, you know, I'm kind of a realist. I'm hoping it's the ceiling. I'm hoping it's the ceiling because it's the defense. And you know what? The defensive players deserve this. Go get the running back. Certify your offense a little bit better, because it's not looking good.
Appreciate you, Peter. Have a great day, man.
You too, guys. Take care.
Take care. Peter's not a Trubisky guy. He doesn't like our running back room, but he's a big Bears fan.
The room conversation started with Nagy, right? He's the one that brought that to Chicago, right?
He did.
I didn't hear that before Nagy got here, talking about your running back room, your quarterback room. Ultimately, it's about what's on the field. I don't care what's in your room. I just want to know, are you better in those positions?
So?
That's my whole thing. That's why, again, you can ride with the ceiling, but that means they have to have a charmed season. Is that a one-off, or does that mean they're going to have sustained success?
Correct. Is it 2018, and then we're going to go right back to where we were in the crapper in 2019? Or, hey, guess what? We finally are going to string some things together.
Right.
It's a great question.
So you're predicting the Vikings or Packers take a step back. That's what you're saying.
I think the Vikings are going to be good. I think the Packers take a step back. I do.
I know what you've been saying about Rodgers, by the way.
Who?
You said the quarterback's not very good right now in camp.
I didn't say that. That was Danny heard that, I think. Didn't Danny read that?
I've just been reading it. I read both Packers quarterbacks have been struggling this
you
camp.
You reported it.
No, that would be
from him.
That would be Danny Zetterman, who is the backbone of what we get filtered here through us during the show.
I'm surprised you heard that. I said it in a meeting.
I don't like you.
Who will start for the Bears?
The backbone.
Are they not anymore? Are they interested in Fournette? These and more questions for the great Dan Graziano. Next.
David Kaplan. Jonathan Hood. Welcome, fans. This is Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the new ESPN Chicago app.
Unity Walk, 29 miles from here, home.
That's right, to bring people together. We need unity in this world. In our sports, Cubs, White Sox are both in first place. And we talk football right now with our guy. He's been great to this show. Dan Graziano joins us from ESPN. Dan, good morning. So we have a quarterback conundrum going on here in Chicago, but ESPN wrote an article, Floors and Ceilings, and for the Bears, it was 5-11, 10-6. What is your perspective? Are they closer to the floor or the ceiling?
Yeah, that's got to be a little bit of a disappointing range, right? If you're a Bears fan, like, you probably have higher hopes for both floor and ceiling.
Yes.
At this point. So, I mean, is the defense what it was 2 years ago? Can it still simulate or resemble that? If so, then I would think that keeps the floor higher. But not knowing who the quarterback is a big problem. I mean, that, in terms of perception, like, it's hard to feel confident about a team when we're, what, a week and a half away from the opener and they haven't picked a quarterback yet and don't seem to feel great about either option. So I don't know. I mean, we'll see. I think it's they're an interesting team. I think the fact that the Vikings picked up Ngakoue over the weekend is obviously a negative for the rest of the division. I feel like we've been having this conversation for like 3 years now.
Yeah.
If they can get steady play, not even spectacular, steady, reliable play from the quarterback position, then I think they're a playoff team. But if they can't, then, you know, we've seen how that looks.
And they're screwed.
Well, Dan, what is your overview of the NFC North? You mentioned the pickup that the Vikings made and made them even better defensively. What's your overall look at the division?
Yeah, I think the Packers probably take a step back. They had a crazy record in, games decided by 7 points or less. And so I think that tends to even out. So I think they'll be a good team, but I don't think they're a 13-win team because I'm not sure they really were last year. The Vikings, they turned over a lot of the defense, but there's coaching staff continuity and there's continuity on the offensive side. And I think that's a big helper in a year like this because, you know, new stuff hasn't had a chance to really gel due to the circumstances. So I think as the offseason's gone on, I've kind of liked the Vikings a little bit more than I did at the start. And then the Lions, I mean, look, it's make or break for them. Like, they have to win. So what you saw there was Matt Patricia bringing in some guys on defense that he knows from New England, Collins and Harmon. And I think, the key is Stafford bouncing back from the injury that ended his season because they really felt like they had something going with him early last year. They think that their receivers are the best overall top-to-bottom group in the division and that they're in position to surprise some people. So I think it's a tough division. I would probably favor the Vikings at this point, but you could probably convince me to believe any of the four will win it. Obviously, the sliding scale there, you'd probably have to work a little harder on Detroit.
So I got to ask you two player personnel questions. Leonard Fournette will clear waivers, it looks like, at 3 o'clock this afternoon. A, do you think the Bears make sense for him? And B, is Riley Reiff going to renegotiate to the Vikings' liking, or will he get released in Minnesota?
So on the first one, Fournette, I think he does make sense in Chicago because not just the Montgomery injury, but – the Montgomery injury seems to, and you tell me if I'm wrong, but it seems to have revealed a lack of depth at that position for
yes.
them. So it seems like even if Montgomery comes back in the next couple of weeks, it might not be a bad option to have another experienced body in there. So I'm interested to see where he ends up. I think Washington's a possibility there. The Chiefs wouldn't shock me. They lost Damian Williams to the opt out, and I think they like to be deep at that position as well. So we'll see. He's a running back. I mean, he's going to have to sign for something like the minimum, I would think, to hook on with somebody at this point. And Jacksonville's cut him with $4 million guaranteed left on its contract. That's not going to make everybody rush to the waiver wire for him. So on that, Riley Reiff, I'm looking at this situation. I'm thinking, it doesn't sound like there's a resolution. It sounds like he'll probably end up getting cut. But the only thing that makes me hesitate is I feel like over the last couple of years, there have been a lot of Minnesota Viking contract situations that looked like they were headed that way and didn't. Like last year, it looked like Everson Griffin was probably not a guy they could bring back, and they did. It looked like Kyle Rudolph was probably not a guy they could bring back, and they did. So their guys tend to like being there, and it's been, I mentioned continuity. This is a group that's been together a long time. So I wouldn't be surprised if they pulled this out of the fire. Right now, if you asked me to bet, I would bet that they probably end up releasing him. But the Vikings are pretty good in that front office and figuring out how to get these kinds of things done.
Dan, there is so much troubling news out of Washington with the football team. Ron Rivera, who we know very well, with cancer, and we're hoping the best for Ron Rivera because he's been a friend of this show, and we're hoping the best. He says he's going to coach through it, which is great. I'm not surprised because we know how, the kind of guy that Ron Rivera is. But just some of the stuff off the field, like the NFL is now overseeing the investigation by Beth Wilkinson into Washington's football team as far as the alleged sexual harassment issues in the organization. Is there going to be a time where Roger Goodell has to step in on Dan Snyder? There's been too much negative news around that organization since Snyder's been the owner. What's the likelihood that Goodell really has a major statement or does something about Washington?
The NFL taking over the investigation is obviously a key step here because it signals that the league would consider some sort of disciplinary action. Why else would they investigate if not to get to that conclusion of whether disciplinary action is necessary? So it's still a little murky because the investigator is still somebody that Snyder hired. So it's not entirely independent, at least looking at it from the outside. But look, could it rise to a point where it's in the league's best interest for Snyder not to be the owner there? Yes, it could. I don't. The NFL doesn't want that, and doesn't like to operate that way. I think the closest thing we've seen in recent years was the Jerry Richardson situation in Carolina, but that was obviously a lot further down the road in terms of what was revealed concretely. And I think he was getting to a point where he probably was looking for a way out of it anyway. So Snyder's not at that point. He would fight tooth and nail, I'm sure, if the idea of him losing the team were to be brought to the table. So I think we're a ways away from that. But I mean, obviously, very, very ugly all the way around. And you hope that the NFL takes the issue very seriously and gives it the attention it deserves, because we're dealing with very serious issues that people deal with in society outside of football and shouldn't have to. And if it's going on in the NFL, I would think the NFL would want it stamped out.
Yep. Hopefully it all comes out. And if there's somebody doing something like has been alleged, clean it out and fix it up. And they got the right guy there at the helm in Ron Rivera, who was one of my first radio partners.
Mm-hmm.
He's a great guy, man. He's an awesome
I don't know
person.
Anybody that doesn't like Ron Rivera.
He's the best. So, hey, man, appreciate your time. Have a great day.
You too, guys. Thanks for having me.
You bet. We'll see you. There's Dan Graziano from ESPN with a lot of interesting info that we will discuss. And Jimmy Butler? Okay. I got to fall on my sword on that one based on yesterday's game.
Oh, take that.
Cap. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Hey.
I'm Cap. We're here every weekday morning at 7 a.m. Had a lot of fun today, man.
Hello.
Hello.
You should have fun every morning. Not just this morning, pal.
Yeah, but if, like, you had a lot of fun because your White Sox roared back, and that was an ultimate take that moment. It was awesome.
Imagine if they would have lost that game, how it would have felt.
Right, you'd have been ticked. You wouldn't have been as jovial as you are today.
We will see what happens tonight. I take it one game at a time, especially against the Twinkies.
Yep.
Minnesota, heavy on the hoe.
The Minnesota.
Yes. Heavy on the hoe,
Tyler is in Vernon Hills, and then we want to talk about Jimmy Butler before we get out of here. Hey, Tyler.
Hey, I was just calling them actually about the Bears reaching their ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
I know I've been called the more optimistic Bears fan, but I know I just think with a healthy Akeem Hicks and bringing Robert Quinn and solidifying and bringing Gibson in the back end, I think our defense is going to be, you know, it's going to be a good one. Going to be back, I think, back to closer to what we were prior to last year for sure. Obviously, depending on health, and then in all honesty, I know again this is me being optimistic, but I do think Mitch gets the start and Nick Foles, his best version of Nick Foles is not being the full-time starter. Like, when he was in Philly, he came in for an injured Wentz, and then he won the Super Bowl. So I think, if anything, that helps us in the future. Obviously, we want a solidified starter, but I think at least with this weird season that we have for this year, I think that's the best we can hope for.
Appreciate the call, Tyler. And I'm with Tyler that start Mitch. Now, again, if he looks awful this week in practice and Nick balls out, it's going to be Nick, and I'm fine with it. Just win football games. But if Matt says, all right, we're going to start Trubisky, and let's see how this goes, you have a very competent reliever waiting in the bullpen who has succeeded in that role. So
it's disappointing in one aspect that Trubisky has not been able to master this offense to be head and shoulders ahead of Foles, who just got here.
But it
shouldn't be that close.
But he was in the same offense.
It shouldn't be that close. It's Mitch should know, and it shouldn't be that close.
Agreed.
Foles in the same offense, but this is the terminology is different. It's a little bit different in that regard. I just think that Mitch should be ahead, and it doesn't seem that way. It seems like both are at the same pace. That's not great. It's not great. The most important position on the field offensively, and you're just kind of stagnant at that spot.
Agreed.
How about the NBA last night?
So, I picked the Heat before the thing even restarted. I picked the Heat to go to the final.
I like that pick.
I had the Clippers and the Heat meeting in the championship.
Mm-hmm.
And the Heat go out and dispatch the Milwaukee Bucks last night. Jimmy Buckets, 40 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists in 36 minutes. Now, Danny asked a question yesterday. Danny, what was your take, your shot, no shot question yesterday as it regarded the Bulls and Jimmy?
Shot or no shot, the Bulls regret making that trade with the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Okay, and my answer to Jimmy was, to Danny, was no shot.
Right.
Because it was time, they weren't going to give him $206 million or whatever the number was for the Supermax deal. And I'm still not saying that the Bulls should regret it, but I should say that me going, he's a really good Robin, but he's not Batman. Like, you can't win with him being your number one guy. Oh, boy. He was really freaking good last night.
Is he a Supermax player to you now? Just say yes. In today's NBA climate, just say yes.
Look, it's one game.
But he's that good.
He's a really good player, man.
Who else is going to lead them offensively like Jimmy Butler? Bam Adebayo is a terrific Robin to Butler's Batman.
I love Bam Adebayo.
Yeah. I mean, there's a guy. We talk about recreating yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
So here's a guy here that was just a solid player, became a tenacious rebounder, looks for his own shot. Now, he only had 12 points in the game yesterday.
He had 17 freaking rebounds and 6 assists.
So you got to like that, right?
I played 38 minutes.
He reinvented himself. And so I say that Butler has been able to cross that stratosphere. It's a strong team offensively and defensively. So I'm happy for Jimmy Butler. It just shows you, you know, from the Philadelphia 76ers standpoint, the Sixers, they trust the process. Just keep losing. Just lose for draft picks. And now look where you are. Elton Brand is just stuck right now. He's stuck. Like, I like Embiid and Simmons like the next NBA guy, but you just don't have a third or fourth, and you have a ceiling to your success. And on the other side of this thing, where I'm happy for Butler, disappointed in the Bucks. No wonder you had 12-30 starts. No wonder you had bad starts.
Your team doesn't look very good.
I mean, listen, Travis in the office is a big Bucks fan. Let me tell you something. We talk about Giannis Antetokounmpo, and I think you and I are on the same page in this regard. When you have a young player, you say, wait a second. Hang on a second. Before you crown that new player, Doncic, Giannis, whatever, before you crown them the greatest that you've ever seen, let's see them in the trenches. Let's see them when the game gets tight. This Bucks team is not like the Bucks team before they were in the bubble. In the regular season at the Forum at home, they looked unbeatable. When they got in the bubble, it's a different team. This is the number one team offensively in the league, top five in defense. And I see Giannis Antetokounmpo last night with 18 points and 4-for-12 from the line. 4-for-12 from the line from a star? That's not going to get it
done.
That's
a league MVP.
I mean, again, We got to hold on before we start crowning these young players. Let them be able to develop. Let's watch them because, hey, it's great to watch Giannis, but watching that game last night, monitor 2 for the NBA last night.
In the hood
night.
Cave.
Yeah, so the Sox monitor 1, and so NBA monitor 2, and like Cardinals Reds like monitor 3 from yesterday. So that's how I did it. So watching that game, and you know, I saw a Bucks team that's really underachieved. They are not the same team in the bubble as they were outside of it. I don't know what it is. This is why I took the Raptors and the money line to win the East this year. I thought the Raptors are this, they're more together than the Bucks are. But we'll see.
By the way, did you see what Nick Nurse is doing in the bubble? So he brought his W flag because he's a huge Cubs fan.
Yes.
And every time they win, he flies the W flag out the window in the hotel.
Yeah. He's a big fan.
Yeah,
see?
I love that.
Who doesn't have the W flag if you're a Cubs fan? It's international now.
See, when we hiked the rim to rim of the Grand Canyon, we brought the W flag to the floor of the Grand Canyon.
Of course.
And took a picture. Can you tell me Bam Adebayo's real first name?
Bam Bam.
That would be Idris Femi Bam Adebayo. And he got nicknamed Bam by his mother. When watching the Flintstones together at age 1, he flipped over the coffee table at age 1 like Bam Bam Rubble.
The other reason why is because it's easier to say.
Yes. Idris. Bam Bam, come here.
Could you imagine that? I mean, listen, call your son whatever you want to call him, but I just imagine Idris, right? Yeah. How's that work on the playgrounds?
Not well.
Idris, your baba called you. Idris, your baba called you. That won't work.
No.
There'll be a lot of fights out there.
Hey, Bam.
Now, that's easier, right?
Yeah.
You say Bam, that guy's tough.
Yeah.
Oh, that guy's name is Bam? Not messing with him?
I'm not messing with him.
No.
We have got a crosstalk with Carmen and Yurko.
We do?
Yeah, we do. In exactly 2 minutes.